And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go, another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here with Rock Hod Rick back there. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here right next to the San Diego Landings, Fisherman's Landing, Point Loma Sport Fishing in Point Loma. Captain Frank Lopresti is here from the Royal Polaris. So we're watching the Royal load up right now, getting ready to go fishing. For six days.
They left about 15 minutes.
Oh, I missed
ago.
It. Okay, they're already loaded and gone, huh?
Yep.
And celebrating our 31st anniversary on the air here of Let's Talk Hookup. And I want to again thank all of you out there for all your years of support. And we're going to keep it rolling.
That's right, buddy. Hey, we're having a great time. If you want to keep it rolling with us this morning, we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. That's how you reach us here on Let's Talk Hookup. Or send us a text. Lots of great text pouring through. And that's all available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. It's an easy, free download. Not only are you going to get your questions answered by Frank, but you're also going to get a chance to win a great prize. Today, we're giving away a trip on board the Liberty at a Fisherman's Landing. So stoked to get to do that. That great fishing that Captain Taro and Anibal have been on. You're going to get to participate in that. So very, very cool fishing going on right now for sure.
All right. Hey, let's go ahead and jump back in the phones. They're packed up. They want to talk to Frank.
You got it, buddy. John and Mira Mesa is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. A week ago, I went to Sitka with Kingfisher, and I got in a little early. I was killing time at the marina. I was talking to this sweet old lady. She couldn't have been more than 90 pounds dripping wet, but all smiles. And anyway, she showed me a picture of big old cow tuna she caught on the Shogun. And you could tell she was like 80 going on 50. I mean, you know, the life in her was just tremendous, you know. And so it made me think, Frank, what's the maybe the oldest angler or even the youngest angler that you've witnessed or know about who's caught a cow tuna with or without assistance from a crew member?
Oh, that's a cool question.
God, I can't think of his name right now. The guy was just phenomenal. He was. There's been a couple of them. There was one of them that actually fished with Bill Poole for many years and then started fishing with me. And he was an older gentleman. He was in his 90s. And the funny thing about him is he had never drank a cup of coffee in his life.
Wow. Really?
He only drank every morning 2 cups of hot water.
Really? Yep. That was his wake-up routine.
And he would he was just an excellent fisherman, and he caught fish over 200 pounds. We've had, I can think of three of them right now, and another one named Pat. There were guys in their 90s that could, you know, using the rail, of course, which, God, I don't care if you're 30, you should
Heck
use the rail. they did very well, and it was more, you know, if you know the technique, I don't think 90 stops you.
I think, I know he's not 90, and I know that there's guys to his senior, but I've got to fish with Bob Wolfson a bunch over the years. And Bob is a kick-ass guy who... He will output time at the rail on me for sure, and I pride myself on that. And Bob's up earlier and stays later and fishes his butt off and
catches 200-pound plus fish all the time.
Yeah.
There was a guy I fished with on the Royal Polaris many, many years ago. He was a short Japanese fellow. He was a regular with you.
Yeah. Otani, not Otani.
Yeah, and he was in his 80s when I fished with him.
Right.
I'm not sure if he's still with us, but
he used to use a spinning reel a lot.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He caught a 29-pound pargo on the 42-fathom spot at San Benedicto.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, some pretty amazing
gorgeous
guys.
That's cool.
Yeah, that are still fishing.
Ted Oshinomi.
Ted, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's a great question.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. I have a question here from Scott, and it's something that we just probably should talk about, and that's fuel surcharge. He just wants to know about fuel surcharges this year. Everybody knows the pain at the pump these days. What's the lowdown on that?
You know, it's been jumping. Okay, so we're, you know, some guys might wonder, well, we're trying to keep an average and keep it as fair as possible. And we're also trying to cut down on our speed and run more economical when we can. But fuel has varied by $1 a gallon from week to week.
Yeah.
Just insane, you know.
It's crazy.
You get in there one day and you go, holy cow, what happened? And then all of a sudden it's down 40 cents, and then the next thing you know, it's down 70 cents, and you're all excited, and you change your fuel surcharge, and then the next trip goes out, and you wet the lower surcharge, and it's back up a buck.
Yeah.
So I don't know why it's doing that. You know, part of it, they say, is because of the Chinese lockdown, that they're not buying as much oil and all of that kind of stuff. I'm just telling you, it just goes up and down like you can't believe.
Great right? question. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
that's
I wish I could say more.
Yeah, that's how. That, I mean, it's everybody lives it. It's part of our life today.
It's just amazing.
Yeah. So that's just the way it is. Unfortunately,
right.
For right now. All right, let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
Okay,
Rick.
You got it. Let's talk to John. John's calling from San Diego this morning. Hi, John. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Great, John. Good morning.
I have a congratulations on your 31 years. I've been listening since you started. Frank, I got a question for you. What's the weirdest fish you've ever caught?
We call it that oil fish.
Uh-huh. Like Escalar.
Escalar.
Those, things, yeah.
those
are pretty wicked.
And then that one that comes off the bottom that looks like a slime ball. God, I can't think of it.
You're talking about not sable fish.
No.
Black cod.
No,
yeah.
No. There's been some weird
stuff.
You know, and probably one of the prettiest weird ones you catch, and I've only seen maybe five caught, is a gold grouper.
Gold those grouper. Are cool. Yeah, that's a
those
cool
are
one.
Really pretty.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
You've seen a lot of fish caught in the roll.
And then some of the weird ones were, you know, on our trip to Costa Rica, the dogtooth snapper.
Yeah, those things are crazy.
They are the meanest suckers.
Yeah, they are.
They bite wire like it's toothpicks.
Yeah.
I mean, they chew it right in two. And I can remember the frustration Rollo had because I had caught one. I think Tim had caught one. And there are several of our passengers who caught one, and Rollo kept getting bit off. But he finally got one, but it was at the end. I'd say, you know, far as weird fish, that's about it. That's all I can remember right now as far as weird fish.
Speaking of dogtooth, I remember being on the Royal Star on the Hannibal Bank with Captain Tim Axstrom when they were doing those Panama trips. And it was an evening, and there wasn't a lot going on, and Tim says, watch this. And he started, like, brailing bait, and the ocean literally turned red with Cabrera snapper.
Mm-hmm.
Just boiling in the corner, biting everything that hit the water. It was
crazy.
Just like that dogtooth snapper. And they're mean, man. They're tough. Yeah, that was
especially
quite a sight.
When you get them up around 40 pounds.
Yeah.
They're tough.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Hey, Bart Hall's on the line. Good morning, Bart.
Hi, Bart.
Good morning, guys. How is everybody?
Everybody's fine, Mart. How are you?
I'm good, Frank. It's so nice. I love this show when you're on. I love the show every day. It doesn't matter. I just wanted to call in Pete and Rick and say happy anniversary. And it got me thinking about you too, Frank, is that, Rick, when you're on the show and Pete and you too, Frank, you don't really sell anything. All you're doing is providing a service that allows people, as Mike Lum used to say, celebrate their passion. And that, in turn, fuels the fishing community, which is just a wonderful thing. And I just was reflecting on how great that is. I basically do the same thing when we do the shows, is that, you know, we don't sell product, really. We just, all we care about is making sure that people have a place to celebrate their passion, and that's what you do. Frank, you've been doing it a long time, and Pete, you've been doing it for 31 years, and I just wanted to say thanks.
Thanks, Bart.
That's cool, Bart.
And I love that picture you sent me of our first broadcast at the Del Mar show. I'll have to post that sometime.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, he didn't recognize
that. Fred and Bart. I said to Bart, I said, who's that young guy? And he goes, that was me. And I was like, oh, man. Oh, that's great.
That was when my dad told you that I was a shitty booze kid. You better get it better.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks, Bart. Appreciate all your support, and we're looking forward to the upcoming shows in February and March, for sure. The Bart
Thank
Hall
you,
shows are back.
Bart, please
great show.
Your wife for us, please.
All right.
I will, thank you. To yours as well, and it's a great show. Love having the three of you guys together. It is just warms my heart.
Thanks, Bart. Appreciate you being a part of it. Hey, let's go live on the water right now. We've been waiting for this call. Captain Bill Cavanaugh on the Intrepid. Good morning, Bill. Come on,
hey,
Bill. Come
good
back.
Morning.
Good morning,
that,
buddy.
Everybody
Frank
wants to know what the heck you've been doing.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I got a call on the report. So we left on an 8-day trip on Thursday. We had a hurricane running up the coast, so you know, we were pretty compromised on what our options would be as far as what we were going to do with our trip. We had a good weather window the first afternoon, so we went up and we fished that big woodman outside of Clemente and had some pretty decent nighttime knife jig fishing on fish. And we didn't have a lot of these on high, so we just keep working up. So we just kept going up. We had, like, this pretty incredible weather window. And we're up here in Northern California fishing albacore this morning. Had a couple on board so far. We've had absolutely flat, calm weather the whole way up. We do not have a single breath of wind here this morning. It's not even a ripple on the water. And we're going to be here till dark and see what we can put together. We got high hopes, and we're up here fishing albacore today.
That's pretty wild.
So cool, man.
Yeah, and to have nice weather up there, that's really something. Now, I understand there's rumors that there's some Dorado around there, too. You seen any of that?
You know what? It's funny you should mention that, because I turned on the interview channel here this morning, and one of the private boaters found a floating log that had Dorado on it.
Funny.
Crazy.
That's wild.
I had so much fun when Bill was getting ready for the trip. You know, they were picking up last-minute gear, and I said, man, I haven't sold albacore feathers and number 23 double hooks to Bill since he had the Pacific Queen with the idea of targeting albacore, and it was pretty darn fun, man. I'm really excited, and I think that's so cool that you guys have already caught a couple too.
Yeah. I'm a little bit on edge and a little bit uneasy because we're getting started out. But, you know, it seems like the full moon was last night. It seems like this is afternoon fish. So I got here yesterday, and he had some pretty good fishing late in the day. The local private boaters didn't really catch a whole lot yesterday, but they had very southerly in the morning, very difficult to fish, and those guys go home in the afternoon. So it seems like it's an afternoon thing. Oh, and then the last thing is, and Frank can attest to this for sure, even though it's two states above me, the guys out of Westport, Washington, they caught all their fish after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I got high hopes for the afternoon. It seems like it's an afternoon thing. Just on the heels of the full moon, and we're going to fix it and just take it from there. You know, if we like it and we want to do it, we can do this again tomorrow. And if we don't like it, we're going to run down and fish bluefin to finish our trip.
Wow.
How
nice,
cool.
Nice going, Bill. That's good. Great, great shot. Good going.
Yeah, Ricky said yesterday there's only one boat not tied up, and that was the Intrepid.
You got us. Yeah, zig and zag.
Yeah, we'll see how this plays out. But like I say, we got hopes excited about how this day goes, and we have until dark, and then we're going to take it from there.
All right. Well, good luck to you, and I hope you get them wet. By the curiosity, what's the water temperature up there?
We currently have 64.3 clean water. There's just a very hard, definitive 2-degree edge just inside of me here, and the water setup's good. The weather's good. From yesterday, it has a distinct feel like it's going to be an afternoon thing, so hopefully we have ourselves in the right position come late afternoon and we can get a shot.
Well, good luck. Awesome. Appreciate that check this morning from the albacore grounds off of San Francisco, the Intrepid and Captain Bill Cavanaugh. I hope you get them. Good luck, and we'll be looking forward to seeing the reports for sure.
You know, that's always been the craziest thing about albacore fishing.
Yeah.
When albacore were here and you had a slow day and then you got them, you know, you had a late afternoon bite or they didn't bite at all that day or the next day, the exact same thing would happen Washington all the way up to Canada.
Really?
It, all the way. It, when they didn't bite here, they didn't bite there.
Unreal.
What a trip, really.
It's the ocean, right? Yeah.
I
the flip switches.
That's
it turns on, yeah.
It was just amazing.
Turn the lights on. Hey, Harold Davis, who's listening to us up in Morro Bay, says that you were talking about a slime eel.
That's right.
Yeah, so a slime eel. Thanks, Harold. And
Thank you, Harold.
Speaking of albacore, hey, a great question here from Dan in Huntington Beach, and he wants to thank us for all the great years of the shows. And, Frank, what's your favorite way to eat tuna for bluefin, yellowfin, whatever? And I picked that question out because I know Frank loves eating fish and eating tuna.
Well, I love it raw.
Raw.
And you know, it's the way that Kathy prepares it, first of all, you know, she has a dish full of ice. It's kind of like a big bowl. And then she sets a platter on top of that so that when you slice your sashimi, it is cold.
Mm-hmm.
It stays cold because if you don't keep it cold, pretty soon halfway through your meal, it starts to get a little bloody and
mushy.
Yeah. So that's the important part. But then she cuts up celery and avocado and onion and the green kelp, just all kinds of stuff, and then some sriracha with mayonnaise and the soy sauce and the ponzu, and then she just cuts up nori, and then you have all of that on the table, and then you just start making your own rolls. You create it the way you want to. And it's,
oh, that's
God,
good.
It's just so good.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you know, Bear, my border collie, is very spoiled. She'll eat raw fish as long as it's within 3 days. After that, it has to be cooked.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She won't eat it after 3 days.
No kidding.
No.
Come on.
She won't. Swear to God.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, but, you know, then I'll just cut it into little medallions and fry it, and I eat half of that because it's so good.
Yeah. So what's your favorite, bluefin or yellowfin?
Bluefin.
Bluefin?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love yellowfin, too.
Yeah.
But bluefin's my favorite.
Bluefin's your favorite. Yeah. All right.
On the Louisiana trip, we caught some blackfin tuna, and we knew that we wanted to make sashimi out of it. And I think that, you know, on the grades of fish, I think it's lesser desirable. But just like we talked about with all those things, like bonita and things like that, treated appropriately, like we caught the fish, knew that we wanted to sashimi it, so we took really good care of it. We spiked it, and we bled it, and we ran that AFCO, you know, kit. We ran the spinal wire down it, and I gilled and gut it the same way we do the bluefin back there, which they thought was so cool, you know, just different region do things differently. They'd never seen, you know, pull a whole gut pack out like they do on the Royal Polaris kind of thing, and we stuffed it full of ice and kept it on ice for 24 hours before they made sashimi the next day. Dude, it's just, it's one of those things. I mean, I know that that's way down the list of the best things to eat, but like anything done, cared for right, I mean, they didn't, you know, they got a chuckle because everybody in our group was from Southern California, such big fans of sashimi like that. We gobbled down so much of that so fast.
So blackfin tastes like yellowfin, or what's
it? I mean, it tastes like tuna.
Tastes like tuna.
You know what I mean? Like, it tastes like a very well cared for tuna. It was, you know, it wasn't mushy, it wasn't firm, it was mild. You know, he put a little bit of chili oil on a razor thin sliced piece of jalapeno on each piece of sashimi,
and the jalapenos
dipped in a little soy sauce. It just melted in your mouth like anything else would, and it was fantastic.
Oh,
oh my God, I could have
so
eaten
good.
A
you know,
salad bowl full
obviously
of that.
Obviously, we forgot the rice. You got to do the rice.
And, you got to know how to do the rice.
And knowing how to make the rice properly is really, you know, washing it three times and all of that.
Oh yeah.
And you put all of that on the table and then start making your own rolls. It's a dinner for a king.
Yeah.
I'm
with you.
Or a queen.
What time's dinner?
All right. Hey, with that said, it's time to find out what's biting out there. It's time for our FishDope.com report with Captain Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide. That catch report sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. The best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landings, whether it be a long-range trip, a local trip, or a private boat trip. Plus, with Fish Pros, the market, you can purchase fresh fish, smoked and jerky fish, their spices, rubs, smoked cheese, the tuna burger, the pokey kit. It's all available at their Old Town location on Taylor Street. Call for details and order online at fishermansprocessing.com, and be sure to check them out on Instagram at The Real Fisherman's Processing. We got Dave Hansen on the line. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Frank, Rick, Pete. Happy anniversary, guys. Happy anniversary.
Dave.
And never forget, today is a special day in the history of the United States, so let's not forget that. And
right.
we know what just happened. Yep. We know what just happened the last couple of days, so I really don't have much of a fish report. But thinking of today being 9/11, we got War Heroes on Water coming up at the end of this month. We still need some boats to make sure we don't leave any of these vets standing on the dock. So go to War Heroes on Water and send Rod an email. Let us know if you have a boat, something 40 feet or above. We need a couple of more boats to make this thing happen. I mean, it's happening. Don't get me wrong. It's happening. But it'd be nice to have a couple more yachts in this thing. So War Heroes on Water.
Why don't you take that boat you're fishing on, just cut it in half, and you've got like 60 footers, right?
Can you believe we're only taking three War Heroes on that thing? Unbelievable. And then each one of them gets a special guest. One gets Jimmy Decker, one gets Eric Landespine, and one gets me. So it should be a pretty special trip. Feel bad for the guy that gets me, but oh well, we'll make the best of it.
We'll have some
Frank,
fun, for sure.
Frank, always a pleasure to listen to you. You were one of my dad's favorite people on the planet Earth. He loved to talk about you. He just loved to talk about you in the old days on the pier and letting you steer the real fun back to the pier. He loved that story where you would be sleeping on the gunny sacks and you'd be steering the boat back to the pier. Oh, my God. Such great memories with you, Frank, and love to hear you on the show. And it's a beautiful day here in Cabo, but like John Ireland said, it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. We had that K come through here, and yesterday, it was 91 degrees in the harbor before K struck, and yesterday it was 80 degrees in the harbor. It doesn't make any sense. I know there's a lot of hot water outside, but on the beach here, the water got real cold. 10-degree temperature change in one day. Pretty strange.
Crazy. And what about Cabo, as far as the water? Did any damage down there?
We did not get the rain that John got over there on the East Cape. We got rain, but we didn't get the rain he got. So we didn't do – nothing happened here. It was pretty easy. They already got the town all cleaned up. They're ready for business. Life is back to normal here, and it's hotter than heck.
All right. Well, hey, and right now you really need to pay attention to fishdope.com because Danny and Jeff and the boys are doing a great job over there keeping people up. They'll keep you posted on what happens post-storm up here. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. Lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code. And Dave, how do we find you?
Gang, it's real hard to not see me. I'm on every kind of social media there is. I'm on Spotify. I'm on Apple Podcasts. Kelly and I are putting out three new videos every single day. Check me out, Your Saltwater Guide. And if you don't want to follow boats around when you go fishing, go to yoursaltwaterguide.com, and I'll teach you how to catch fish without following other boats.
All right. Very good. Cool. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate
Thank
that.
You, Dave.
And we'll talk to you next
All right,
Sunday.
Frank, see you guys. All Bye, guys.
All right, well, let's jump right back into the phones. This time we're going to talk to Mitch. Mitch is calling us from Santee this morning. Hi, Mitch. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, you guys. Happy 31st. I remember a long time ago you guys were on from 6 to 8, so this is easier.
So, yeah. This is a lot easier.
Hey, yeah.
It is, but still you need a five-hour show. I got a question for Frank. I hope he could remember. I would like to know, what was his first fishing pole, and where did he go fishing?
My first fishing pole was Calcutta. Okay, and
wow,
it was fishing the Newport Beach barge, and then also at the I can't remember which one was first. It was either the Newport Beach barge or the San Clemente barge. I'm pretty sure it was the Newport Beach barge, and one of the things we used to do a lot then was fish Yankee feathers and fish bonita and barracuda with that.
Were the barges motorized?
No.
Or were the barges stationary and then they would ferry you to the barge? Like, I've always known about barge fishing, but I didn't know if the barge itself moved or if you just got on, like, a ferry-type vessel that brought you back and forth.
The barge might move once during the year. They'd pull the anchor and somebody would tow it to a different location.
Okay.
But it was never motorized to move. It was, pretty much stationary. And usually the pickup, you ran a ferry boat out to it every hour.
Okay.
Really?
Got it.
Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's cool.
And Bill Poole and his dad had one here in San Diego.
And it was offshore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And were not sure where offshore, but it's outside Point Loma Kelp somewhere.
I'll be darned.
Were there, like, concessions on those barges?
Yeah,
like,
it's
they sold
on galley.
Okay, yeah.
And so there was part of the year they'd be open 24 hours a day.
Kidding.
So that,
cool.
You know, you could go out and stay out there all night,
sure.
And all of that and drink and do whatever you
yeah.
want. Some people only fish. Some people drank and fish.
That's cool. Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including a big block of your phone calls and texts. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Well, it's September in San Diego, and that means the best part of summer has just begun. The sun is shining and the fish are biting. Hayden Lane here from Fast Lane Kayaking, here to tell you about our Hobie Kayak Endless Summer event. From now until September 11th, get the best deals on the best fishing kayaks during the best part of the year. That means $300 off a new Hobie Mirage Outback, or $250 off a new Compass, $200 off a Thermoform Passport 12, and $175 off the Passport 10.5. The kayaks are in stock and ready to go. So get down to the shop, Fast Lane Kayaking, Dana Landing, Mission Bay, and let's enjoy this endless summer.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
You know, the ranch is unique. It's one of the few places in the world where you can still drive ATVs up the beach. We have fishing from the beach. We have dive trips that we run to Pomo in a number of different spots. Kayaking, of course, has been real big. We were one of the first hotels to introduce kayaking. The ranch is small, you know. It's intimate. It's 34 rooms, so everyone gets to know everyone. The old saying, where everyone knows your name. Well, truly at Rancho Leonero, the employees do know pretty darn near all our guest names. And what's even more interesting is most of the guests know each other's names. Very personal, very intimate, and a special, special environment. 2 miles of beachfront, a mile on either side of the hotel. Rancho Leonero is really the last of the old-style Baja fishing resorts. 1-800-646-2252. 1-800-646-BAHA. And RanchoLeonero.com. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Leonero.
Cutwater Spirits celebrates those who work smarter, not harder, and know that enjoying a bar-quality cocktail is as easy as cracking open a can. No mixing required. We cut out that step for you. Made in San Diego with our real award-winning spirits, Cutwater canned cocktails are ready to enjoy, ready when you are. All you gotta do is choose your cocktail, such as our fan favorites like our lime margarita, tiki rum Mai Tai, vodka mule, or mango margarita. Or try them all. Please enjoy responsibly.
Top anglers know the best hooks are made by Gamakatsu. But did you know Gamakatsu also makes amazing tackle storage solutions like the G-Box 3200 reversible utility case for easy tangle-free jig storage? Check out the Gamakatsu Spring Lock Spinner. It helps give swim baits additional flash to entice those bites. Gamakatsu also makes a line of fishing pliers, clothing, and more. For the complete lineup, check Gamakatsu.com for your local tackle dealer.
I can't wait to spend some quality time with my son fishing this year, teaching him about casting, how to choose bait, set the hook, and how to be safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Dog Hookup, having a great time. You're here this morning talking fun, talking fishing, and Frank has sweetened the pot today. So not only are we giving away that fantastic trip to one lucky caller going fishing on board the Liberty that full day, but another lucky caller is going to win a family four-pack of tickets to go take out the family on the Legacy at a C4 sport fishing, do a little whale watch, take the kids, have just a great family day, four-pack of tickets going fishing on the Legacy.
All right, so we're going to give two different callers?
Yeah, yeah. Two prizes.
Two prizes. One texter, one. We'll give one texter and one.
I love it.
One dual caller.
Perfect.
So the
winner might be disappointed that he's not going fishing, but the wife's going to be off.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We'll make the coin toss.
And then
that's exactly what I was thinking.
And
yep.
Then the other one will be, because we always draw at the end of the show, mm-hmm. We draw a texter and a caller.
Yep.
So we'll make the coin toss the winner of the Liberty trip, and
the runner-up will
win.
Go fishing on a fantastic trip with the whole fam. You're getting four tickets.
Not fishing, but they're going to go watch whales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
what's cool about the Legacy, they were featured on the news the other day. They saw a whale shark the other day, which was really cool. Came right up to the boat. Pictures of that were unbelievable.
Yep.
Yeah, really fantastic. Well, if you want to get through, here's your chance. One line open. Been a busy morning. 213-432-1090. JP standing by. Man in the the boards for us, as he always does every Sunday, and we sure appreciate his great work back there. Appreciate that. And here's an interesting question from Captain Devo of San Clemente. He says, congratulations on 30 years of drag and clicker going off between segments. My question is, whose idea was that, and who actually did that promo for you? So, interesting story. That was my idea. When we started the show to do that, and we go ahead, Frank.
I think I know how you got it.
How?
From the movie Michael Foulkes did.
No. Okay. It was just kind of an idea because we always loved the clicker sound.
Yeah, sure.
And, but the way we did it is we had one. I had an old Penn Senator that had a big old loud clicker, and put somebody on the end of the line, literally near the microphone, running down the hallway, and a bunch of us gathered around the mic, including Rock Guy Rick and Marty Milner, and we all went, hookah! That's where it came from. Yeah. We created our own sound effects.
So do you remember the movie Ultimate Challenge?
Yes.
Well, Michael Foulkes hooked a rod and reel to a car.
To a car.
Okay. And took off from the car, and they had that was with Howard Folsom back then, and that's how they got the startup sound
of that.
Of Ultimate Challenge.
Oh, okay.
I've got a story that I have to add to that Doug would be furious of me if I didn't talk about exactly that. So Doug said that in the beginning days of their booth at Fred Hall, like our old booth, there used to be a TV right in the center that would always play long-range videos. And he said no matter what, when Ultimate Challenge went off, it started with just that. It was like a picture of an international just absolutely getting dumped.
Smoked.
And the audio the clicker going off, and Doug said on a really crowded day they would all, anytime they'd start the video, they would all watch because their booth, it was like the booth was here, then the aisleway walking down on the other side was one of those fly fishing casting ponds, and it was only like 6 inches tall for the fly casters. And he said on a busy day, if you'd start that video and crank the volume, when that clicker's going off, every saltwater fisherman was so mesmerized, they would all look up at the screen and hear that clicker going off and not where they were going. And he said at least two or three times a day, you'd watch one guy walk right into the fly pond and fill his boot full of water because everybody was so mesmerized by the sound of the clicker going off.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, Frank, honestly, I had never seen the Ultimate. I didn't even know what the Ultimate Challenge was when I started Let's Talk Hookup. So it was just a kind of it was a lucky place, right?
It was a smart way to go.
Yeah, well, who doesn't, like, get mesmerized by the sound of a clicker going off, right?
The best.
I don't know about the clicker, but the sound of the drag. I mean,
the drag.
That's what, I mean.
Especially when, yeah.
Yeah. It's just great.
You know what it's been replaced with now is that so distinct sound of Spectra slipping through the guides. Like somebody hits a big one, there's such a, you know, it's just got such a unique sound. When a big fish is really ripping hard, that Spectra has a sound going through the guide.
Oh,
you're just like, man, it'll chill your bones. It's so good. You know, I love it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's go ahead and jump back on the phone.
Phones are packed solid. We're going to talk this time to Ryan. Ryan's calling us from Irvine this morning. Ryan, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, gentlemen, and happy 31st anniversary for the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan.
Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning. My question for you, Captain Frank, is what is your favorite long-range trip destination, and do you foresee in the future any more new trips being added to the long-range fleet?
Well, that's an interesting question about new trips. Not right now, not necessarily. I mean, I've thought of some options, but, you know, what is my favorite? Probably right now, one of my favorite destinations is Guadalupe Island, which, by the way, I think will be open next year.
That's good news.
There's no guarantee, but there's been talk here for the last couple months that they want to do an every other year type of thing. But we'll see how that goes. I think there's still a chance that it'll be open for several years in a row. But right now they are talking about it being open next year. We'll see. You never know in Mexico how politics go. So just like we don't know in our country. But that's one of my favorite destinations. Other than that, you know, God, I just enjoy going so many places. But Clarion, without a doubt, is a favorite. Hurricane Bank is a favorite. And those are some of my favorite. Going on a freelance special can also be so much fun because you just don't know what you're going to find and where you're going to find it. So all of those things. And you know, just sometimes just good calico bass fishing is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I'd say that's it in a nutshell.
On the subject of Guadalupe Island, they closed it this year supposedly because they want to study it without boats there. Is that correct?
They felt that the flora and the fauna of the island was being affected, which I don't understand.
No.
I don't think any of us know the real reason. I think a lot of it had to do with politics. And where money was going.
Mm-hmm.
Money from our permits. I think that had a lot to do with it, that it wasn't getting distributed fairly.
Because you guys already had the permits. You already paid for your permits, right?
We spent $25,000 on everything there, not counting the permits and what the people have to pay. So it's a very strange thing. And then the other thing was is that they thought it would the excuse they gave us, which was just sick, was that they felt that the white shark wasn't getting enough to eat with us there.
Oh, come on!
Which was just the exact opposite.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the white sharks all left this year because there was no
easy
tuna.
There's no opportunity. Yeah.
Because a white shark isn't going to catch a yellowfin tuna. I don't give a damn how fast they are if he doesn't have a hook in his mouth.
Yeah, he's not chasing down a 60-pounder.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
All the white sharks moved up here. I made reference to that. There's a bunch of white sharks up here because they left Guadalupe because they're not getting enough to eat down there.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. So, no, we know what it is, Frank. It's a lot of people that don't really know what they're talking about down there. So hopefully the better minds will prevail in Mexico for the future. They lose a lot of money in revenues. They lose a lot of trust from the people that are going down there in the United States. And it's so much better off for Mexico and for the relations between the United States and Mexico to allow access to that island. That's just my opinion.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, let's go ahead and you have a great text.
Yeah, I thought so too. It says, good morning, guys. Frank, is there any way to put a long-range trip on a layaway kind of deal? And once I have enough money down to officially have the deposit. Love to go, but it's a big nut. That's from Rory in Lakeside.
Yeah, Rory, I really feel for you, and I think, yes, you can do that. You know, with our office, you can go ahead and, you know, and if you have any problem with that, just ask for me. But you can go ahead and start sending in $50 a month or $50 every 6 months. And then when you got enough, that's fine. You can't pick a trip because our schedules change every year. But once you get enough in that you're ready to make a trip, you can do that, no problem.
Yeah, that's you guys awesome. Get payments all the time.
Yeah.
Now, in fact, the girls I know, you can give them their credit card and they'll ding you $100 a month if you want to pay for a trip like
that's
that,
correct.
Right?
That's correct.
Yeah, which that's a great way to do it. And then when the trip comes, it's not, you know,
right.
You're done. You're ready
exactly.
to go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff from Sushi on a Roll, speaking of sushi.
Hi, Jeff.
I'm sure Kathy learned a lot of her tricks from Jeff at Sushi on a Roll.
No doubt about
it. No question. He says, happy anniversary. Hearing stories about the old-time fishermen. Is there a book in the making from Frank Lopresti?
No.
No?
No, no. There's not a book in the making.
No?
Okay. Should be.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe a ghostwriter.
There should be, Frank. It'd be a great one, man.
I think it would be a good one.
Yeah,
but
no doubt.
You know, somebody was asking about a strange or a different type of trip. We used to do trips with Jeff where it was Jeff and one of his assistants would teach people how to do sushi on a five-day trip. And we wouldn't have sushi every day by any means, but we'd have sushi several times, and he would have classes during the trip when we were traveling about how to do and how to make sushi. So that was one of the
And Jeff is such a talent too.
Yes, he is.
And he's so generous to the industry too.
He's so
he does
generous.
So much for Captain Morales Kids at Sea and everybody, right?
He's a generous person.
Yeah, he's and we still got
all
time on the
really,
show.
Really, really
yeah, we kind of have
so
Jeff
good
on the show.
On here.
Yeah, for sure. Got to make that phone call to you, Jeff, for sure.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's go ahead and jump back into it, right?
That sounds good to me. This time we're going to talk to Daniel. Daniel's calling us from Rancho Cucamonga. Hi, Daniel. Daniel, welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
How you guys doing? Happy anniversary.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you.
I have a question for Frank. Frank, do you think with this hot water, we might have seen some wahoo?
Oh, I think there's a strong chance of it. But, you know, it's hard to say. There hasn't been any wahoo caught off of Benitas that I know of. So I think right now, honestly, I think it would be a stretch to say we're going to have local Wahoo. It wouldn't surprise me at all, but to think they're going to be all the way up to here right now, I would say if you get two more hurricanes, then you can start thinking about there being some local Wahoo.
Okay. But there's a three-knot push from the south right now. Mm-hmm. There might be some traveling.
Yeah, there might
it
be.
It could happen, yeah. Hey, Daniel, thanks a lot for the call. We can hope.
Yeah. So
that would be kind of cool.
No doubt. I had a fun text come through. Good morning, guys. Congratulations on all the years of great shows and wonderful memories. My question for Captain Frank, can you tell us a little bit about how you navigated and traveled on the boats to all the southern location in the days previous to our now most modern electronics? That's from Mike in Oceanside.
A lot of it was dead reckoning. Most of it was dead reckoning.
Explain dead reckoning.
Well, dead reckoning is just course and time and speed, estimated speed. Okay, and you know I can remember one time, I think I've mentioned this before, Gary Black was running the qualifier 85, I believe it was, and he was running to Alaos and missed it, couldn't find it.
Wow.
And finally had to turn for the beach, and on his way into the beach, he just picked a course. On his way into the beach, they hit a kelp paddy that they got picked up something like 300 premium yellowtail off of.
Okay.
It was a long time ago, Pete.
Yeah.
And then when he got into where he came in on the beach was Hippolito, and his first anchor job, he got something like 40 black sea bass.
Wow. So he had a good trip.
Oh, yeah, he saved the trip, but yeah. it wasn't unusual. And there was many instances of guys missing the 13 and the 23.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just got done talking about a three-knot current. You don't know what the current's
sure.
like.
Sure.
And so when you're dead reckoning, you can really have a problem. Because,
yeah.
you know. So it was all dead reckoning, pretty much. We used to get cross signals that we could use on a machine that weren't very, very accurate.
That was a Loran?
Yeah, it's Loran.
Loran
lines.
Wow.
And we'd get them out of Texas and somewhere else, but they weren't super dependable.
What about an RDF, radio direction finder?
A radio direction finder worked great for local boats, but mm-hmm. didn't work offshore.
Yeah, because you couldn't get the radio.
No.
Yeah, interesting.
I mean, think about what Alejos Rocks is. You know, I mean, it's literally just that. It's a couple of rocks sticking out of the ocean. I mean, if you're just a cup. And
three
this,
rocks.
Yeah,
three rocks.
And this wasn't, you know, not everybody had a pair of, you know, stethoscopes in their hand that
yeah.
you could, you know, you could throw the glasses up and look 5 miles away, no problem, you know, like you're off by a degree.
Yeah. And now, you know, we pick up the rocks at 13 miles usually on the radar. Back then, we didn't pick them up until we were 5 or 6 miles.
Okay. Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it was much tougher, but I'll tell you one thing. You paid a lot closer attention.
Yeah, that's
for
sure, for sure. Hey, I want to mention we have our Islander Kayak Mothership trip with Fastlane Kayaks this coming Tuesday night, Fish Wednesday back Thursday morning. Yesterday I mentioned we had two spots that opened up because somebody got sick. We sold one of those spots, so there's still one spot available. If you want to go with us, shoot me an email, Pete@letstalkhookup.com, or shoot a call to the office at 619-223-4665. Have another great text here that I'd like to share with everybody. And thanks again. I want to throw out a big thank you to Adam for including having the text idea, because that's really added a lot. It's
great
added
idea.
An opportunity for a lot of people that don't like to sit on hold or don't like to call to be a part of the show, and it also adds opportunity for us to read some great questions, too, like this. And when I was 16, I saw the first Ultimate Challenge. I knew as soon as I saw the film, I knew I would fish on the Royal Polaris. My first trip was a 9-day with Steve Loomis in 1984. What a great boat and what a great movie. And that's from Howard.
Well, that's
how about
cool.
that, huh?
Yep. And we miss Steve Loomis.
Yeah.
Everybody knows he recently passed away, but anyhow, he's...
Yeah. He ran... How many... Can you count the number of trips that Steve Loomis ran on the Royal Polaris?
Well, he ran it from the day it went into the water until 1999.
So he ran it for Bill Poole.
Well, he ran it for Bill Poole to start, and then
to start, and then he ran it for you.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that was that's a lot of trips.
Right.
Yeah. And
you know, I got a lot of my experience from running the Searcher, because when Bill got that boat, I owned and ran the Searcher, but I had a great teacher in Steve Loomis who was kind enough to help me, and
yeah,
he was really, really good.
And when did Roy Rose come into the picture?
God, I'm not sure. I should ask Roy when he came into the picture, but he's been with me about 30 years,
yeah.
I believe.
Where was he before? Was
he Seaforth.
Running? Oh, he was over at Seaforth.
Yeah. He worked with Bobby Williams for years.
Oh, really? The legend of Lahoya.
Yeah. He was, back then he used to, he had a commercial license that he couldn't use on a sport boat.
Uh-huh.
But after the boat got in, he would sit on the dock. Not sit, but,
Hang out.
How crazy he is.
He'd be running up and down the dock, right?
Catching tomcod. And he'd fill the tomcod full, with some ice and fill it full of tomcod and take him to his mom, and she would give him around to the neighbors.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. And then he started as a deckhand on the Royal Polaris, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's
correct. And then that was back in the Rollo days, of course.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
How quickly when a guy like Roy or a guy like Rollo or a guy like Tim, whoever that person is, as a new deckhand, how quickly do you see a guy like that and just know, like, that guy's going to be driving this boat?
Oh, how quickly?
Yeah.
In 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Within 6 months.
Yeah, within 6 months.
You kind of knew that with Roy.
You get a good idea. Well, it's just like Trevin.
That's what I mean, yeah. Trevin's a great example, like.
Yes, Trevin's an excellent example. You just see their love for fishing. That's number one, and just how well they are, how good they are with people, and how much they care about the boat, and it's just automatic. You know they're going to be there.
There you go. I love it. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's going fishing on the Liberty and who's spending a great day on the family with the Legacy. We got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way in the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now, you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere. It's time for the Power Pro 30-Second Seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro, so you get more line on that small reel. Power Pro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Here's the hot tip on the best fishing L.A. has to offer, 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. They are home to L.A.'s finest open party fleet, including Overnight on the Freedom, Catalina Freelance on the Pursuit, half-day trips on the Monte Carlo, and three-quarter-day trips on the Sea Angler. For your own private charter, we have the Outrider and True Line available. There's always plenty of free parking and a fully stocked tackle store. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. Call 310-832-8304 or on the web at 22ndstreet.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hook. I've had a great time this morning. So much fun. Frank, it's time to find out our big winner. If we're going to go caller or text her again, we're giving away a trip on the Liberty and a family four-pack of whale watch on the Liberty. Frank's going to do us the
Legacy.
Excuse me. My bad. Legacy. Yeah. Legacy whale watch. Liberty fishing trip.
Liberty out of Fisherman's Landing. Legacy out of Seaforth.
Correct. Thank you.
Ready?
All right. Let's do it.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
The winner is a texter, so congratulations, Rory in Lakeside. You are going fishing on board the Liberty at a Fisherman's Landing. And then a congratulations to Vinny in Carlsbad. You are going to get to go on a family whale watch trip on board the Legacy at a C4 Sport Fishing.
All right, congratulations. And Frank, thanks for helping us celebrate our 31st anniversary on the air. We sure appreciate all your support and all the support of everybody out there, listeners, callers, sponsors, and, of course, the staff that helps us be on the air here for sure. Thank you, Frank.
It's been a real pleasure to be part of it, and more than anything else is the friendship that exists between us.
No doubt, buddy.
Yeah, and let's keep it rolling. Let's keep it going for several years if we can, and we're going to do our best to do that. And thanks to Rock God Rick and, of course, Corey for being fantastic co-hosts. And, again, thanks to you. Thanks to JP for manning the boards there back, and we sure appreciate all that Adam does from creating the text, the app feature on our app and more. Adam will have the archives up very, very soon. And we'll be back into our 32nd year on the air starting next weekend with Captain John Conniff from the Islander.
Oh,
John will be talking about all the great trips they added this year in the fall here, and that'll be great. Talking about fishing, we'll be talking about our Let's Talk Hookup Islander kayak mothership trip that we're going to be coming back from. And then next Sunday, an interesting one, Ed Handley from Don Eddie's Landing in San Catin will be here. That'll be a different one there, for sure. Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week right back here on the Mighty 1090 ESPN Radio, and Let's Talk Hookup app.